When I looked at the scripture reading this morning, I wasn't sure John had it right. Only one verse. So, right across the page is another verse. I don't know, it's probably been 6-8 weeks ago, John gave us 4 verses. And I wrote those down, and I read them regularly. And I want you to know that we do listen to you, if you ever wondered. And that verse is, the verse in James talks about your faith and the fruits of your faith, and if you don't have fruits from your faith is dead. Well, that brings us to this, Proverbs 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. Well, I'm ashamed to say, but there's probably times I've kind of looked the other way, and I'm trying to work on that to do better, and I hope you all are too. There's many things to go to and that you can contribute to the poor. I guess Crop Walk is one of those, Al. You probably will take any donations you can get for that, I'm sure. And there's many other things that we can give to help the poor. Well, that leads us to today's Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraints. But blessed is he who keeps the law. This ends the scripture reading.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to have you back. Thank you. What I didn't tell him is that this is going to be a really, really scripture-heavy sermon. So I kept the reading for the day pretty short. Don't worry, you will get your Bible today. You know, another version, I always put up on the screen the version that you have in the pew. And so if I went to another church that used another version of the Bible, I would use whatever version of that Bible. That's the version of the Bible that I preach from. And so in our scripture reading today, it says, where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint. And those are going to be the two words that we're looking at today. In another version, though, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I found that to be a very, you almost wonder whether or not they're translating the same verse. Those are two divergent things. But then, of course, you say prophecy and vision. You can see how those might be the same thing. And then casting off restraint and perishing. And if you think in terms of people just deciding to do something that is very, very destructive to themselves, you can see how casting off restraint and perishing would be the same thing as well. And so there's this idea that I want to play with a little bit today, that I want you to join me in considering today. When we talk about prophecy, we talk about there being the prophets in the Old Testament, really, if you boil them down, had two messages. The first one was get rid of your idols. Get rid of the idols that are in your life. Get rid of the things that you worship instead of worshiping God. Because there is only one God. And then the second thing that they say is you have to love your neighbors. Jesus summed this up by saying, here's the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbors, said the prophets. Love the people that are on the edges of society. Love the people. They had a practice called gleaning, right? And how many people know what gleaning is? Okay, gleaning, they lived in an agrarian society. And so when they would go to harvest, gleaning was very simply, the harvesters had to follow two rules. And that was the outer edges of the field were for the poor. And then if you pick something and something fell to the ground, you couldn't bend over and pick it up. You had to leave it there. And that was for, and that way, you know, the very edges and the stuff that fell to the ground, those were left for anybody that was poor that wanted to come and glean the field. So sort of the leftovers were left for people who were poor. And there was a problem, of course, with field owners saying, well, this is my field. And they would say to their workers, you know, ignore those gleaning laws. We're going to get to the very edges and you will not drop anything. But if you do, you're going to pick it up and put it into your bag. You're going to harvest this field and you're going to harvest it for me. And prophets would come and would say, look, you need to be taking care of the orphans and the widows. You need to be taking care of the people who are on the edge of society. You need to be doing this. And if you read the Old Testament prophets, you will see that time and time again, Israel went through this circular, this rotation of being totally in love with God, and then not being so in love with God. And then they would be corrected, usually in a manner that was somewhat unpleasant. And then they would repent and be totally in love with God. And they would go through all of these seasons. They would go through all of these seasons over and over and over again. And if you read the Bible, you would look and you would say, and I remember asking this very question when I was in Sunday school because it was like we had heard the same story for the fifth time in a row. I asked, don't those people ever listen? Don't those people ever decide to, you know, straighten themselves up? And I will never forget the Sunday school teacher, a very, very wise woman who looked at me and said, we shouldn't judge them if we haven't figured this out. Because I'm sure we can look at our own lives and say there have been times when we have cast off restraint. There have been times when we have ignored the prophecies. There have been times when we have not had vision, and we know people who, to their detriment, have perished because of that. Today, I want to offer you a vision for what church can be, a vision for what church should be, a vision for what God is calling us to. Four parts to this: worship, growth, service, and evangelism. Each one of these components could definitely be a sermon series unto itself. And so if you're thinking, wow, this is very, very light today, only scratching the surface, it is because we are only scratching the surface today. But I want to dig in here. All right, so what we have here is a word on worship. And it's difficult to see, so I'm just going to read this to you. This is from Revelation. If you're taking notes, Revelation 5, 11 to 14. Revelation 5, 11 to 14. And it says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders of the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's a lot to receive. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Any people here get a little weirded out when you read Revelation? All right. All right. It's okay to admit. You know, is there anybody here who just doesn't read Revelation because it is so weird? Okay. Right. But this is one of those verses that is just so chocked filled with hope for us. This is one of those vision. You know, this is part of a vision for what our eternity is going to be like, and it is all about worship. It is all about worship. Glory to God forever and ever. Read through these verses, chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, and you're going to see a picture of eternity that says, what we do here on Sunday morning is a warm-up. What we do here on Sunday morning is practice for our eternity. Our purpose in life is to worship. Have you ever pondered that philosophical question, why are we here? Have you ever thought about that or gone to a class? Followers of Jesus have a definitive answer to that question. It is, we exist to give God glory. We exist to give God glory in every moment of our lives, with every breath that we take, and for our eternity, this is what we were created for, to worship. To give God glory. But not just on Sunday mornings. With every moment of our lives. That doesn't mean if you're a lousy singer, you have to go around belting out hymns all week long. But it does mean that everything that you say, and everything that you do, every action, every conversation is an act of worship to God. And if there is something that you cannot figure out how to do as an act of worship to God, then perhaps that is not a thing God would have you be doing. Our lives were meant for worship. Now, next step is growth. Have you ever heard the saying, God loves you just the way you are, and God loves you so much that he'll never... We are called for growth. And if you are breathing right now, and I assume most of you are, I have one or two questions. But if you are breathing right now, you still have room to grow. You still have steps of faith that you can take. You still have grace to grow in. Luke 10, 38 to 42. I promised you were getting scripture this morning. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus, entered a village. And a woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with so much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. You know how this story ends, right? But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Doesn't that remind you of a sitcom from a while back? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken from her. Do we spend time at the feet of Jesus? Do we spend time with the better portion? Or do we allow busyness to take over? I'm guilty. Sometimes my busyness takes precedence over the better portion. But we're called to grow. We're called to grow daily. We're called to be in the presence at the feet of Jesus every single day. We're called to do that alone or with our families, to just carve out some time and defend that time. Do you know how easy it is to get so busy that you believe you don't have time to pray? Now, in a few weeks, we're going to start up a new series on anxiety and fear. And you're going to hear me come back to this point over and over and over again. By the end of November, you're going to hate hearing this. But here's a preview. If you have time to worry, you have time to pray. Something to think about. But growth is about more than just worry. There are so many areas of our life that God calls us to take an extra step of grace in, to take an extra step of faith in. And so often we can believe that those are not important. And I want to ask you this question. I just want you to consider yourself a year ago. And consider your walk of faith 1 year ago. And ask yourself, have I moved? Or have I been standing on the trail? And I believe many of you have moved. I believe many of you have taken some steps. And I think that's a good thing. We're called to grow. Alone, with family, and small groups of the church as well. And over the next 2 weeks, you're going to hear a lot about small group ministry. And each and every one of you is going to be encouraged to sign up for a small group. I'm not going to beat this horse too badly because I don't want to spoil the next 2 weeks for you. But you have room to grow. And I call you, encourage you to begin praying now about how you will do that. So we are meant for a life of worship. We are called to grow. Let's try this one more time. There it is. Service. Service. Are you seeing a vision? Are you seeing a vision? This one, it's just a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 5. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. I don't know what your gift is. I know what some of your gifts are, but I don't know all of any of your gifts. Some of you don't even know all of your own gifts. This is part of growing, right? But serving, we look and we say, I have been given a gift. I have been blessed by God in some way. But none of us are blessed to be a blessing just for ourselves. We are blessed to bless others. We are blessed in whatever way it is that we are blessed to share that blessing with someone else. whatever gift it is we have, and some of you are gifted in feeding the hungry, and some of you are gifted musically, and some of you are gifted mechanically, and some of you are gifted financially, and some of you are gifted with the ability to just listen. Isn't it great when you find somebody who's a good listener? Who just hears you? There are so many gifts. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. We do what we do for the glory of God. This is going back to worship, right? Are you seeing how these are all connecting? These are not separate silos of our faith life. All of these blend together. The edges are a little bit fuzzy. We have a hands-on faith. We have a hands-on faith. And we are called to love others. And lastly, evangelism. After stewardship, possibly one of the most frightening words in the Christian faith. Evangelism, sharing our faith. And I'm just telling you the first example of evangelism here, the first example of proclaiming Jesus. And Jesus is saying, Jesus said to them, and these are the women who are at the tomb. This is the Easter story, and we are an Easter people. Jesus then said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus wants to let people know that he has conquered death. Jesus wants people to know that there is no reason to fear. Jesus wants people to know that sin is forgiven. Jesus wants to meet with people. Sometimes people will tell me, "Well, I have my faith, but my faith is personal." And I will say, yes, you are right. Faith is deeply, deeply personal, but that's a very different thing than being private. Yes, your faith is personal, but it was never meant to be private. Your faith is yours. And it is yours to nurture and to grow in, and it is yours to share. Faith was meant to be shared. Our joy was meant to be an invitational joy. And if you're still listening, you still listening? You said you listened. All right. And if you're still listening, here is the challenge for you. Here's the challenge, and you're going to have a month. Today is the last Sunday of August. And here is your challenge for the last Sunday of September. I want you to invite somebody who doesn't come to church, who doesn't have a church. I want you to pray. And doing this prayerfully, I don't want you to just think of it on your own. I want you to pray. Two-step process. Pray first. But as a person of prayer, I want you to very pray on a daily basis about who it is that you could invite to join us here for the last Sunday of September. Maybe it's somebody who used to be here, but isn't here anymore. Maybe it's somebody who lives down the street from you that you have a relationship with, but you don't know that well. Maybe it's somebody that you know is really, really struggling in life, and you are waiting for the right time. The right time is the last Sunday of September, because we're going to be doing a new series. I told you a little bit about that, in Fear and Anxiety. We want every single person, yourself and your guest, to be connected to a small group as we go through that. We want to connect with them, we want to love on them, and we want to include them. Look around the room. Just look around the room real quick. All right? Somebody give me a ballpark number on the number of people that are here right now. 35? 40? I was going to go closer to 50, but okay. Let's say 40. What if there were 80 on the last Sunday in September? I think you can do that. I can't do that, but we can do that, right? We know somebody. We know somebody who could use the grace of God. And if you think you don't, and if you think you don't, that's why I want you to pray. Because I'll bet you do. Take a look at it this way. Will you be part of putting this together? Would you be willing to be part of putting this together? Would you be willing to take a listen to this vision? Would you be willing to listen to that vision? That we would be a people of worship that are growing and serving and sharing our faith. Would you be willing to be part of a church that is going to do that? Is it a little exciting? Is it a little bit exciting? I hope it's a little bit exciting for you, because this could be the turning point right here, right now. This could be the moment where the people of God say, we're going to come together as one, and we're all going to move in the same direction together. And I know that can be a little bit intimidating, but it also can be very, very joy-filled. And so this week, starting this week, hit your knees if you can. Get down there. Pray hard, church. Will you be part of putting this together as a people of worship and sharing faith, as a people whose hands and voices come together as our hearts are growing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't it a beautiful thing to decide that we are going to start our eternity now as a people of worship, and that we're going to invite other people to be the same? Isn't it a beautiful thing that we can have an impact on this community? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God is not done with us yet? Would you pray with me? God, you have led us to this place. And you have things to say to us yet. And so today, God, as your purpose slowly gets revealed to us, as your vision for us is life, an abundant life as individuals and as church, God, today we bring ourselves and we ask that you would guide us, that you would give us a hope for a bright future. God, today, as we look at the coming months, would you invigorate us? Put the fire of your Spirit into our hearts so that we can be a source of light and warmth and love to this community. And all God's people said, Amen.